All right, we're live-ish. We're
We're
recording.
no, we're live. We are live.
I gotta
My
wake up.
countdown took a while.
It did, yeah. I was looking at it and I'm like, I look so defeated. I'm so tired.
That's because it's winter solstice today. It is the shortest day of the year and the
Well,
longest day of night. Is that they said the longest night or something like
longest
that?
night of the year, yeah.
Well,
It got
prime
dark
time to
fast.
record.
And I'm ready to curl up in my bed.
I have been curled up with this book for 2 whole days straight. I'm talking about I started it yesterday morning at 8 o'clock, and I am so close to being done. I was like,
Good.
oh man, I gotta go record. I want to finish the book. So I
Well,
gotta
I was
finish this.
downstairs talking to Emily, and I'm like, you need me to run and grab something? What are we doing? And then I looked at the clock and I said, oh, shoot, 6 o'clock's almost here.
It came up
So.
fast because we even had dinner late and I was going to cook something. And I was like, you know what? I was like, let's just order a pizza. Totally
Yeah,
went the pizza
I
route
wish we went
tonight.
that route. We wanted something that you could get because it's close to you, but it's not close to me. We wanted Chapman's chicken so bad.
That is like really close.
Yeah, Chapman's the best chicken in Loring County.
Chapman's is really good. I haven't had it in so long. I remember my father loved Chapman's chicken. That was every time. Like he would just go right around in that Chapman's. I might have to make a stop over there and call you,
No,
like, look what I got.
don't do that to me. Don't do that to my soul.
That'd be great. I might have to go and get that.
Yeah, it's
Thanks.
always a good time. I'm glad to recommend it, even if I can't get
Absolutely. I'm gonna mail it.
it. Jesus. Well, we are here at the end of 2025, and I'm still like flabbergasted that we're 4 days away from Christmas. The new year is only a little, a week and a half away. It's just.
Yeah.
I don't know what happened to this year. It's gone.
It has flown by. It feels like every year gets faster and faster. And it's like, hey, let's just slow down just a little tiny little bit.
It never does. It only gets faster
No,
and faster.
not at all. Only gets faster and faster. But I will say 2025 was an excellent year. Like, not even just reading wise, but like for everything. This was a really great year.
Yeah, we had a lot of family time, a lot of wins in areas that we haven't had wins in a long time. So it was a good year. And I hope 2026 is just as good, even better.
I'm looking forward to 2026.
Yeah, you got a lot of stokes in the fire.
Oh my goodness. I'm ready though. I am definitely ready. I'm excited. I don't want to, release too much yet, but I'm really excited for
Change is
it.
coming. Good changes, though. Yeah.
Yes, absolutely. Good changes. But
Well, let's talk about
podcast still strong.
podcast ain't going nowhere.
Nope, not at all.
This is one of my favorite episodes to film because it's so, as much as it was a short year, some of the books that I read at the beginning of the year feel like I read them decades ago.
I
And
agree. I
then.
had to go back. Like I don't know if you had to, but I mean, obviously you did because you had so many books. But I had to actually go back and like scroll to figure out the rest of the year because when I went to this year, it didn't add my January. So I was like, I
Oh.
know I read books in January, so I had to go back to all of the years so I could get what I read in January because I couldn't even remember.
There were books on there that, books I don't remember, books I'm glad I don't remember. But just overall, so many good wins throughout the year, but they came in like waves, where I discovered series or I finished up something or I did this and then I moved on to the next thing and had some misses and like our readathon. I don't think I had a good book that whole readathon. It was all like
And I
one
had
and
a
two stars.
blast. I see, I told you we should have had the readathon for the whole month,
Yeah, probably would have worked out better, but we'll figure out what's going to happen with that, and when we're going to shift stuff to that, but we're still going to try and find time to
Absolutely.
do something.
Yes, this was an exciting year of all new challenges, things that we finally completed, that we finally got to. I just think it was a great year.
And it feels like we're starting to find our like comfort zone with the podcast and the content that we're putting out.
Yeah, I say we're getting pretty good. It's not that, oh my gosh, what are we going to talk about? You know, like we were doing before. It's like, oh, we'll just do this, you know. But it's like now it's like it seems to be more natural. And like the stuff that we come up with, I think it's really cool as well. It's
yeah,
stuff
I
like this out there.
I like putting, you know, like, oh, we can talk about this in a couple episodes, and this in a couple. And it just, it feels really easy to come up with stuff like this is appropriate for the time, and this makes sense, and this would be fun. So, yeah, I mean, we only flushed the format once, and I don't know, we might have to do it again. We'll see.
I love when we flush the format. I do.
All right. So let's talk about our goals for 2025. And how we did, I'm going to let you start.
Of course. You would have me go first.
I don't want to shock everybody with mine.
Well, my goal was 60. Yay!
Exactly.
And the results for my goal is actually currently, as of right now, this very moment, I am at 58. But. It is only, what, December 21st? Yeah, today's December 21st. Yep. So I am currently 80% into Good Spirits, which will be finished tonight because I've been loving that book all weekend. And then I'm 75% into our book club book, The Book of Lost Hours. So technically, I'm at 60.
Do you think, so you're, but you'll be maybe... You think you'll squeeze another one in before the end of the year? You think it'd be 61?
I want to. I really, really want to squeeze in one more. I know it's in me. I just don't know what that last book is going to be because I really have been wanting to read Oathbound, as we all know. But I'm really kind of enjoying this Christmas spirit book stuff. You know, I didn't think that I would. I've never read a Christmas book before. So I feel like I might squeeze in maybe one more.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
That would tick me off to no end to be at 61. Be like, no, I either got to stop reading or I got to put 5 books in there or something.
We're going to see, you know, and then when we start, you know, 2026 and we have that next episode, we can do a quick, you know, hey, where did you end kind of thing. But definitely I will hit my goal. I will hit my goal of 60. So
good.
I'm excited.
My goal was 100. It will continue to be my goal probably forever.
Forever.
Because I think it's a goal that I know I can achieve, however, and exceed. However, I don't want to get hung up on like trying to hit a number. So I don't want to put that number like a stretch goal, like, oh, 150. Because if I'm where I am right now and I'm going for 150, I would be so upset that I was going to miss my goal. And like, why? That's a lot of books.
You should do 125.
You should set your goal.
No, you
it's
can
not,
hit
it doesn't look as good. Oh, yeah, but it doesn't look good. 125, that's an ugly number.
No, it's not. 125 is beautiful.
100 is perfect.
So you can always have, what, a whole bunch more every year? You did the same thing last year. You had 100 and you had like 100 and... Didn't you get like 140
actually,
last year?
140 something, 142, I think.
So do 125.
Again, I don't want to feel stressed that I have to hit the number. I feel good when I hit the number in like September or October. I'm like, see, okay. I'm good now. And then it's just
the
off
day,
my plate. And then I can focus.
The year you read just 100 books, I'm going to treat you to like a book haul or something. Like it has to be.
Because
you always go over.
The fantasy books, so I'm getting more and more into fantasy, and I'm discovering new... First of all, I am such a light fantasy person. Like, I feel like I sound like the fantasy guy, but then I watch, like, fantasy readers' YouTubes, and I'm like, never heard of that author. I've never heard of that. Whoa. And I'm like, okay, so I'm not a fantasy reader. I just like Brandon Sanderson. But
no, you do, too.
I hope to read a lot more fantasy in the future, which means probably larger books. They definitely used to scare me away, but now I feel like I've got a good grip on it. I'm also doing better with series, so I'm not scared away by those.
Okay.
So yeah, we'll see.
And I did, sent you a few.
You did? Quite a few that are on my radar now. So I did achieve, as of right now, 134, but I'm going to finish another book within a day or so, so 135. Mm-hmm. My hope is that I can read 5 more and get to 140 before the end of the year.
I knew it. See? Caleb's new goal for 2026 is going to be 125 books.
On paper, it will always be 100. It's just so easy. It's so easy to just say that and then be good. I also relied on, like, one year I read like 180 something books, but I was reading a lot of graphic novels and manga, and I felt like I was using those to pad my numbers, and I'm like, I don't like that. So this year being 100 and almost 50 books, and realizing that some of the biggest books I've ever read, I mean, the Stormlight series that I just finished was 1,000 pages per book, 12, you know, between 1,000 and 1,300. Huge books, you know? So you figure that's over 5,000 pages I read just in that one book series. It's a lot of pages. So I feel proud of what I have achieved. I think we both should feel proud of what we have achieved, especially with everything we've had going on. It was a good year.
I agree. And I'm actually looking forward to reading more fantasy this upcoming year as well. Some of the books that I sent you, like, I know for sure I am getting back into the Red Rising series. Like, I even, like, picked up the book and I was like, no, I don't want to start this now because then I'll be reading the rest of them for this year. So I'm going to pick those up for next year. But I even sent you, what's his name?
Islington, yeah.
Yeah, him. And then there's another James guy I sent you.
I don't remember. It's got, like,
it deals with dragons or something. But I have a handful of books that I definitely have, like, at the top of my radar for fantasy.
I think you sent, did you send me John Gwynn? That's the dragon covers. I think that was it.
I sent you something with a dragon. Or is it a, I don't know. But there are definitely some fantasy books that I have on there. And I can't wait. I'm excited.
This is going to be an incredible moment for me because, yes, it's more than a year, but I will be finishing the last trilogy. Well, it's 4 books for Mistborn. And then there's a couple stragglers that I need to hit, some that I haven't read yet. I also added, I joined the crowdfunding for his new project, which is like a 4 little storybook collection. It's like a, it's from Hoyd's Tales. And then at the end of the year, we're going to get a new novel that I will be contributing towards the crowdfunding so that hopefully I can get that book and the pretty cover when it comes
out. That's exciting.
So yeah, Sanderson, I'll be doing a lot of that, but I am also going to do the John Gwynn. I'm going to try and read more from Islington, M.L. Wang, who will be making an appearance in a little bit. There's some Joe Abercrombie, who I did enjoy one of the books that I read from that author, and just lots of other things. And then I'm going to discover a bunch of new fantasy authors throughout the year.
Yeah, it's going to be a ride.
We'll still have my other stuff. You know, we're going to have some thrillers. We're going to have some horror. We're going to have some sci-fi. We're just going to have some regular general fiction. But I think fantasy is probably going to be the main staple for my reading next year.
And historical fiction.
For you, yes, absolutely. Because you actually, all the things you read, you still read a lot of historical fiction this year.
I did. I read quite a few historical fiction. Not as much as I usually do. This year was, I would say, a discovery year for me because I've always, you know, pulled towards that historical fiction space. But this year, I definitely branched out a whole lot more, reading things that I did not think I was going to read, reading things that I never would have picked up to look at, you know, just challenged myself in a lot of spaces this year. But I do see myself going back into my bubble of comfort a little bit next year. Along with adding some fiction and definitely sticking with our general fiction literary type of stuff, I really found a nice home in that space this year.
It'll be fun to see. Our next episode is going to be all about 2026.
It's
my favorite one to do all year mm-hmm. because it's like, what do we think we're going to be into? What are we looking forward to? Mm-hmm. What are some of the things that, you know, we've had for a while we want to hit? I like the format that we've done, and mm-hmm. I enjoyed seeing, like, we actually did pretty good following up on these, and they weren't all hits. Some of them were misses, but it was really fun to try and put that list together. So that'll mm-hmm. be the next episode. And it I do want to mention that there'll be a slight change as you're watching this today, which is going to come out on New Year's Eve, the final day of 2025. That would mm-hmm. put our schedule a little bit off, but mm-hmm. we're going to adjust the schedule. So the first episode of 2026 will come out mid January. I think it's the 16th. And then we'll be on a 2-week cadence from there. So
I think that just works out perfect, because sometimes at the beginning of the month, it's a little bit of a scramble, you know, trying to figure out, oh, I got to do this and I got to do that. But I think the middle of the month definitely will be good to start off. And then we still have to roll into the new year. So,
yeah.
Yeah.
The holiday makes it challenging sometimes, you know, mm-hmm. we got a lot going on.
Mm-hmm.
Hosting.
Kids home.
I don't know who convinced you to host. That's crazy.
I am not hosting. I am like co-hosting. So like all the major holidays and stuff, I like to cook with my mother. And, you know, it's just a fun time. We get together, we cook, our family comes over. So I really wouldn't say it's like hosting or co-hosting. It's just family time.
It definitely is. No.
It's just family time. And I love to cook. So it's just even better.
Big responsibility. So no, no bueno.
You're like, But we've been doing it for so long. Like literally almost, well, not almost, every year there's something, you know, Thanksgiving, Christmas, New Year's. It's definitely when we all get together for sure, you know, and have big, big meals. You know, the other holidays and stuff, we'll do like a barbecue or something, but definitely this time of year, we tend to do a little bit more. So
those are my holidays. I'll host those.
Mm-hmm.
Just put up the grill and we got the pool in the backyard. I'm the backyard guy. I don't want to host the holidays where y'all got to be all in my house, all in my space. No, absolutely not.
I love it. I do. It's one of my favorite times of year.
Well, good. And everybody, mm-hmm. hopefully you all had a good holiday when you're watching this.
Yes.
And maybe you're watching this right before the ball drop. So happy new year.
It could be. Happy new year. Could never be. Know.
All right. Let's get into these fun superlatives that
mm-hmm.
we came up with this year. I like switching it up. And I thought, I don't want to just say, what's your top book of the year? Mm-hmm. I wanted to do something a little more fun. And honestly, on the first pass, I think I got some really good superlatives mm-hmm. because they made me think about my reading.
Oh, this was a challenge. I saw the list and I was like, this is a little bit difficult.
You really have to think about it.
Yeah, it's hard when you're trying to like actually categorize something versus just saying, I read this, you know, but
yep.
Let's get into it. What was your first one?
Awesome. So the first superlative is most likely to cause a reading slump. And I laughed so hard at this because this doesn't mean necessarily it was a bad book, but mm-hmm. sometimes you experience something so monumental, it's so hard to find anything after that.
Mm-hmm.
That was experience
was the
you
for
had.
Me. Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. That was my experience.
And what book was that?
I read I, Medusa by Ayanna Gray. And I will tell you, I had a time. I had a time. It was not what I was expecting. You know, usually when you get into a story time, it's just, you know, it's a story. And you're like, all right, well, whatever. And then you close it. This book had action. It had growing stories, I guess, growing pains necessarily is what you can put. Trying to identify who you are. Full of power, rage. Oh, I loved it. It was just so good. But it was really hard for me to find something to kind of keep the pace of this one. I didn't hit too many slumps, but I will tell you after this one and the books I tried to pick up after, it just didn't keep my attention. So I was like, you know what? That looks like I'm watching something on Netflix. And I watched a couple episodes of Stranger Things because it was just so hard to find something. And it did take me about another week to pick up something solid. What was your book for a reading slump?
I'd say it's around the same kind of experience. So it's no surprise to anybody. I've talked about it already in this episode, but I did finish the Monumental Stormlight Archive Arc 1, which was 5 books. And I read them starting in maybe March of this year, and I'd read a book a month, March, and then April. And then there's little books in between that you need to read to get some extra context and little Easter eggs. So I was reading about a book a month, and then I hit book three, and I struggled through book three for a while. I kept putting it down, putting it. Took me about a month, and then I was like, you know, I need to take a little break. I need to hit some other things. We had priorities going on, vacations and stuff in the summer. And then I didn't touch another book until November.
I would say it
And
was like end of the year.
it was really late. And I'm like, oh no, like I gotta finish this up. And they actually mentioned like, hey, I want to finish these 2 books and finish out this series before the end of the year. And so I decided to pick up book four. And, you know, we've talked about Sanderson's pacing and how it's kind of challenging. Well, book four was much more monumental, where like around 50%, it started just kicking up. And it did help. I was doing a tandem read. So I'm listening and reading and just flying through this book. And I was so hooked that I immediately closed book four and opened book five the
Open the
same day.
next one.
Because I was like, no, A, I'm so close to the end and knowing all of the stuff I need to know. But also, like, I was in it. I was like, I'm not going to stop reading this Sanderson book. So I went straight into that. When I finished that book a couple weeks ago, it was such a monumental feeling to just go like, holy crap. Because you've read Mistborn, book one, and it's got its challenges. That's like a 700 pager. The story for Stormlight is true epic fantasy. It is huge. It takes a lot. It takes a lot of investment because the books don't feel self-contained. Like the story you get in Mistborn, and then the second Mistborn, and then the third, they feel contained. And yes, there's more stuff going on. And so we're still moving, but those books feel like, oh, I had a story. We had a bad guy. We defeat the bad guy. We move on, happy, on to the next one. And that's not how this was. So it was like reading one huge story, 5 books at a, or 1 book at a time, you know? So by the end of it, while I didn't technically put me in a reading slump, what it did do was make me not want to read anything else but more books in that realm. And so I read another Stormlight book, and then, or not Stormlight, I read another book in the series. It actually ties into that last book. And then I said, you know what? I got to take a break, and I got to do something besides Sanderson. And I could have picked any book, and I think if I picked poorly, I could have really put myself in a slump. I got pretty lucky with like some good little books that have kept me pretty happy for the last couple weeks, and hopefully I'll finish strong, but it was a lot.
Yeah, it sounds like a lot. You know, just yes, I finished Mistborn, but that's for later. That's for later. But I can definitely see reading anything of Brandon Sanderson requiring, like you said before, the commitment, the time, and really just the patience, because the story doesn't always pick up super fast. You got to get through that hump of that world building. And then the way the Sanderson books, as far as they flow, they don't usually pick up until like that 40% mark. So it's like, okay, do I stick with it? Do I go? But then, you know, at the end, you're going to get that payoff. So, yeah, I had my first Sanderson experience this year.
1 book a year, and Miss she'll finish the Mistborn series in a decade.
Well, I already downloaded book two. I have the audio and I have the ebook as well already.
I think book two is fantastic, but the same struggles you had in book one are going to be there in terms of that. So maybe your experience with book one will help in book two know what you're getting into, because I think that was part of the challenge for you, was like, what am I getting into?
And you gave me great advice as well as not trying to figure out what is going on. You know, for me as a reader, when I'm reading something, I want to be able to know what's going on, you know? And when I first read the Mistborn, I was like, okay, who are all these different people? And what is the Allomancer? And what is this person and the Inquisitor? And, you know, all these different things. And I was like, I feel like I need like a dictionary to kind of help me guide to understand what I was reading. But once I finally got into the groove of it and I hit that 30%, I was like, oh, okay, now I know who this person is. Like for me, I couldn't figure out the Kelsier and Venn. Like it was the back and forth of who was who and all of that. It took me forever to figure that part out.
It is a great starting point and an understanding, like if you don't enjoy it, you're not going to enjoy any of the other books, you know? They're the most accessible books. He has some standalones that are in the universe as well. And mind you, he has other universes that aren't part of this. And I will eventually read those as well. There's some middle grade books and some other things, some YA. I will read those eventually, but
You gotta
not
get to that
with the
Cosmere.
same. I got to get through the Cosmere because I think it's one of the most expansive and incredible worlds ever built. Every planet in this whole thing has a unique magic, unique, truly unique. And so I think I'm hooked. I think he's a fantastic guy. And I definitely, there are people out there who will go, he's not the best writer in the world. And I'm like, okay, I'm glad that you feel that way. And I love that for you, but also don't be a fantasy snob. Like I enjoy it and other people enjoy it. Is a huge following. One day I might be hooked on somebody else. Who knows?
Never know, or that might just be your favorite author, and if so, that's perfect. Okay.
It is. All right, book two or prompt number two. Do you want to take that one?
Yes. All right. So, superlative two, biggest surprise of the year. So, a book you went in skeptical about but ended up loving. Caleb, what was your pick?
I struggle with this because Emily originally was like, just put two because she's right. I was really surprised by Blood Over Brighthaven. I remember telling you guys she kept begging me to read that book, and I look like an idiot for taking so long to read it because I loved it so much. But ultimately, I kind of knew I was going to love that book. Maybe not as much as I did, but like it's a well-beloved book and I knew it was going to be good, but Dungeon Crawler Carl out of nowhere was a book that I didn't expect to enjoy as much as I did. I thought, oh, this will be a silly little, easy, quick, fun little romp. And that's exactly what it was. But I'm not saying this is like a masterpiece of writing and literature because it doesn't take itself seriously. And I love a book that's just like, we're here to do this. And exactly what
And
you
that's
think it is what it is. And so I was surprised. The humor, it's so funny. The action, the pacing, the world building, everything about it was awesome. And then the RPG aspect of it kind of took me by surprise. And it does take some getting used to because there's a lot of like opening things and worrying about stats and things like that. But it was easy for me who plays RPGs in you know, games. So I was like, this is really unique and fun. And I know there are a lot of other ones that do it, but I'd say that for sure Dungeon Crawler Carl's the biggest one in the space right now, and a lot of hype around it. And I love the series.
I actually put that one, so I don't know if we talked about it last time, but I had got rid of Kindle Unlimited, and then when it actually took effect, it like kind of erased my Kindle, even though it was on airplane mode. So I was like, okay, well, I feel like I'm forced to go back into Kindle Unlimited, and now it's back to normal. So I did have to re-download and resubscribe. But however, I did put that book in my Kindle Unlimited. So I do plan on trying to chip away at it a little bit and see what it's all about.
I don't want to hear, don't text me, because listen, you're gonna tick me off because you're gonna be like,
Well,
what am I reading?
you talk so highly about it. So I said, well, let me just add it on there because I was trying to
If
redo
you
what I had
think
before.
that creatures eating other creatures' bones is weird, let me tell you.
Okay, so Goblins, I'm going to get rid of this right now.
It is not a book I think you will actually truly enjoy, unless you take a minute and really open yourself up to the wild and the crazy.
No.
Because there's a lot of...
It is getting removed right now. While we are recording, it is getting removed right now.
Squishing baby goblins with your feet and...
Nope. It is getting removed right now as we speak.
I'm glad you made that decision because I don't want to hear it.
You're like, you better not say anything about it. I'm really returning it back to the Kindle Unlimited, and I'll just put something else in that space because I don't want those problems.
Yeah, I think it's not an Ashley book, and that's not said lightly. I think for people who love things grounded in like reality and like reasoning, the book is just so insane that it's like your little nephew or whatever writing a story, like a 12-year-old boy writing a story, and how outrageous it would be. Yeah, that's that. But it is funny. Yeah. It is wild and crazy.
Press and hold. Return to Kindle Unlimited.
Sorry, Matt. I didn't mean to lose you a reader, but, you know, I don't want you to get a bad review either.
No, because I will honestly give that review. You know, I definitely have no problems with giving my honest thoughts when it comes to books that are not for me. But I will put at the beginning,
no one star.
This book is not for me. I will totally do that. I can just add another Christmas book in there.
There you go. I like
it. Yes. All right.
What was your biggest surprise?
My biggest surprise, I don't think is a surprise to anyone because I've talked so much about it, but I called it a masterpiece. Bury Our Bones in Our Midnight Soil. I will tell you, I did not think I was going to love this book. And I feel like we just talked about it with our last episode when we kind of did like a touch on, did we read these books? But this one, for me, I've never liked anything vampires. Nothing. It's never been like my thing as far as vampires. And I was really surprised going into it. And when we just automatically made it for the book club, I was like, man, they're going to force me to read this book. Because I remember I really wanted atmosphere. Like, I was rooting for atmosphere. Like, everybody pick atmosphere. I was like, no, we're going to do Bare Bones. I'm like, oh, man. But I will say this one definitely pushed me outside of my comfort zone. And I will tell you, I loved every single bit of it. I do remember having to start the book three times, though. Like that, I even had like the physical hardcover book that I was trying to read. And I was like, I don't know how this is going to go. But definitely once the story picked up and I could figure out who Sabine was and, you know, what her place was in the story, I really just went through it flying and I absolutely loved it.
I was surprised by how much I didn't enjoy it.
Did not like it. Yes.
That's not like I gave it a one star, but like I do roll my eyes when I think about it because shame on me for having such high expectations and I really got to stop that and just maybe enjoy the book for what it is. It is a wonderfully written story. It is a good story.
Mm-hmm.
I think I ruined myself because I just thought we're going to get this incredible Addie LaRue love story. And it was toxic. It was such a toxic love story.
Yeah.
And I struggled with that.
It definitely was. It definitely was. And the thing for me was that I really liked how the characters were introduced and you were able to see their lives and how their lives were a part of it. And then how the one character, you know, ended up doing all of the things. And I was like, well, I didn't see that coming. You know, like at first I was like, well, why are we getting introduced to this person? It doesn't make any sense. And I was like, so to me, 6 stars, masterpiece.
Me, 3 stars. I still recommend.
It was still good. All right. I guess this is the perfect time to do the next one. So, most emotional damage.
I was surprised because, you know, I looked back through my reads and I had to go really far back to realize I was reading something, you know, that like actually made me kind of go to tears and like really feel emotional. There were moments in books, but like as a whole, a book that reminds me like, oh, that was a lot. I went all the way back to your challenge of Untethered by Angela Jackson Brown. I could have put this as one of the biggest surprises because I remember you picking this book out when we were in the Avon Library, and I'm like, fine, I'll do it, whatever.
There was two of them. It was supposed to be because there were two copies, one for me, one for you.
So we buddy read it, and I remember, oh, you're broken, so you don't cry. But I cried really quite a bit in that book, and it's not an overly sad book, but where it is sad is there are just such a love for these boys that the world is going to continue to kick down. And I see so much of that in some people that we grew up with, some nephews and some family members, some cousins, some uncles, you know, and it's not all young men either.
Yeah.
I've seen people getting kicked down in the dirt their whole lives. And I think everybody should have somebody in their corner that believes in them no matter what. And that's what that book was. So it sent me for a loop for sure. I was very surprised by that.
So Caleb saying that I picked a really good book for his challenge.
So I went into it open-hearted and I said, you know, if I'm going to trust you on a book, it's going to be a book like that. It's going to be a general fiction. It had a historical aspect. It had all these other things. And it worked really well together. I'm suggesting something, you have to be open to the things that A, do well, which is...
So we won't have challenges this
gross,
year.
Gross. Yeah, no, for sure. Gross, horrific, you know, depraved.
No.
Those are my expertise.
No, see, I can't. I will definitely tell you, and I tell anyone if they ever ask me for a book, you know, my books are going to come with... Like, I love books about not power as in, like, I want to take over the world power, but finding that power within or helping others find that power, you know, and that's something that my books definitely do. And they're going to leave you with a moment to pause and be like, man, that actually was, you know, a decent book. It gives you a little something. So my books will always have a little something to it, especially the historical ones.
I love a book that has expansive worlds that you can literally feel like this isn't outside. This isn't going to be relatable. This is magic and dragons and planets that you can't even fathom that have different rules than we have. And that's where I shine. So if you need some wrecks like that, all fantasy, you come to me. If you want to be grounded in reality, you go to Ashley.
Not grounded in reality, but all right. You already said I'm broken, so. This next one is no surprise at all. I think we should clarify that this emotional damage space, okay, is not just so tears, but it's also rage, you know, anything. So mine, I think, is more so anger and sadness, but no tears. I did not cry while reading this book. Let's just go for it. A Little Life. You know, I don't even think we need to go far into it, but I will definitely say that this book angered me, and it also made me sad. But I knew what I was getting when I walked into it, because it's on the cover. You know, it's about, you know, the lives of these friends that are college students and everything that they go through, their identities. And again, there we go with me and identities, right? Finding who they are and things of that nature. But this book was, I think I've said it before, it was like A Child Caught It, but like magnified by 10. It was very intense as far as for some of the moments and things that are taking place in the book. They are detailed. And I'm not quite sure of her approach when writing this, but I guess it's needed because for me, it gave me a moment to sit back and pause and remember that you never know what somebody else is going through. You know, and like the whole time he just needed someone to accept him for who he was, but also at the same time, support him, help him. Don't try to push him to be helped because that did not go well. He just rebelled. But I think it's just more so you never know what the next person is going through and that people really do have these awful, terrible lives. And I mean, yeah, Jude was a very successful lawyer, and he had the worst upbringing. Like I said, a child caught it magnified by 10. I will not recommend this book to people just because of the triggers and everything that is within this book. It is hard. I think it took me a solid 8 months to read this book, and it wasn't because I was bored with it, but it was so many hard moments where it was like, all right, I made it through three. I set it down for a little bit and then, you know, come back to it. But I don't even think being in the right headspace would help anybody with this one. If you want a tough read that is really just going to tear you to shreds, pick up A Little Life. If you don't want to, don't do it. Don't feel bad that you don't finish it, but it is difficult. It was really difficult.
They basically call it trauma porn, where it's just trauma for the sake of trauma on top of
I couldn't figure out the true purpose of it. But I will say, like I said, you just don't know what the next person is going through and how important it is to be kind. You know, it was just hard. It was just honestly just hard.
Yeah. Well, we will not be revisiting that. I do think I'm going to eventually read the book. Don't get me wrong. I think it's something I will eventually hit, but we'll see.
I mean, it's wonderfully written. I will not say that it's not. It is wonderfully written, but it's just, like I said, the things that happen are just so heavy. Yeah.
Yeah. Let's move on to something a little lighter and a book.
Much lighter.
That we're calling our best one more chapter read, the book that you just could not put down.
Yeah.
And I'm going to start.
Okay.
Because I talked about this book when I first got it. I got it on a whim because I got a new book box and it was on there. And I'm like, you know what? Sure. I'll read it.
Mm-hmm.
When the Wolf Comes Home by Nat Cassidy was a book that starts on page one and ends on page 300. You cannot look away.
Mm-hmm.
It's crazy. It's wild. It's violent. It's a lot. But it's also entertaining the whole time. You are engaged. It doesn't feel, you know, sometimes you're like, yeah, oh, I got to suffer through this. Mm-hmm. There's none of that. It is nonstop at your throat. It wasn't even like just one more chapter. I'm like, he could have took chapters out of it and it could have just been one solid chapter.
Mm-hmm.
And I promise you, I wouldn't have put it down. It was so good.
That's awesome. Definitely probably not a book that I would read, but that is a good thing.
No, it takes some, you know, there is some gore and there's some violence for sure. And it takes a weird turn in terms of like, it has like a fantasy element to it, like a fantasy world kind of element to it, where you're like, oh, that's unique. That's what a lot of people didn't like. I thought it was really well done.
Mm-hmm. So mine actually kind of has that fantasy element in it too. So actually it is very much fantasy, but my book that took this one for me was The Autumn Leaf Bookshop. And I honestly think I was overdue for a love story on this one because I was living in that fantasy space for so long that I'm like, I feel like I just need a love story, you know? But this one, it felt like an urban, I put on here, urban, modern, soulful Halloween town, and the spice was tastefully done. I think that is the best way to describe this book because you have all kinds of different, you know, Halloween characters. You have a werewolf, and you have a vampire, you have nymphs and all these little different even witches. It was just a really, really good book. And it had a little bit of like a cozy mystery kind of to it because something's happening to his power, but you don't know what's happening. You know, like the trees and the leaves on the tree are just all of a sudden everywhere, you know? So it was definitely an adventure and I just couldn't put it down because it was just a happy space for me.
That's an interesting read. I see a trend. You do like seasonal romance books. Like you got your fall one, now you got your winter one.
Yeah, that was actually a first one for me. I don't usually read with seasons. So this one, it was one of the Kindle Unlimited ones I was scrolling through and I said, No, actually, I was on TikTok and I saw the author's page and I was like, I said, that cover is gorgeous. So, with me, that's what pulls me in as far as the cover. And it didn't give like the pumpkin spice cafe kind of vibes. And I was like, you know what?
Yeah.
Let me just see what this is about. And when I read that it was like Halloweenish and that the main character hated fall, I was like, oh yeah, this is something that I need to pick up because it just felt right. And it did not steer me wrong at all. And I think there's a book two coming out for that one.
Oh, that's cool. I'm glad you liked that.
I did. I loved it.
I think we've had too much positivity, and I like this next prompt because I think it's a tasteful way to talk about books that maybe we didn't love.
Yeah.
That is, what is the most overhyped book for you for the year? I was really kind of shocked, I guess, when I read yours. So why don't you start?
Well, mine actually, one is a book club read, Red City by Marie Lu. I believe it was actually last month. I was October's read. And then we had Quicksilver by Callie Hart. I could not pinpoint as far as to which one was overhyped for me, but I will say both of them were, they were equally not for me. And I will say I will keep my fairies to the ACOTAR series, and I will keep my alchemy to Mistborn because I will tell you I did not have fun with these two.
I like the way you put that. I like that. I didn't mind Red City. However, it definitely isn't something that I want to continue in.
No, it was
But
just
yeah.
too much. It was just too much. It felt a little too smutty, if I can say that. And I
For
think
sure.
that if it was more of that fantasy element of it, oh, I would have loved it. But it was just like you said, three or four scenes or something. It's like, all right, this is enough. It just wasn't for me.
Yeah.
What was yours?
Mine was a surprise. I have the book of the year edition. I thought this was going to be great. We were going to read it together. Tomorrow and Tomorrow and Tomorrow by Gabrielle Zevin. I really thought it was going to blow me away. It's a friendship story, and every one of those characters was so
You
annoying
said
and
they were so annoying.
selfish and self-centered and just kind of shitty people, you know, like, and I didn't enjoy the characters, which really truly ruined so much of the book for me. I didn't one star it, but I did only give it 2 stars. And for a
You know,
book to
I
be
remember
book of the
that.
year, I don't think so.
And you finished it, right?
Yeah, I finished it and I thought it was going to get better. It didn't.
Yeah, it actually makes me laugh that this book we were reading together as like a challenge. And then when you didn't even tell me what you scored it, but you had already rated it on Fable or something, and I had saw it. I was
Yeah.
like, if Caleb gave this book a two, I am not finishing this book. I was like, I'm
It
absolutely
wasn't
not
worth it.
finishing this book. Yeah, no. If you gave it a two, that means I'm not supposed to finish it.
And if you love that book, I know I've got friends who love this book and recommend it everywhere. And I'm glad they got something out of it that I didn't get it, but it wasn't for me.
I didn't like it. I did not like it. Even the bit that I did read, that definitely ended up on my do not finish as far as for the year. It was just odd. It was odd.
Yeah,
The I
absolutely.
sent in, like, even the contact through emails was weird. We're not gonna like go through it or nothing, but I'm like, that was just weird. Let's go to the next one.
Yeah, there's a lot of miscommunication in that whole book, so
Yes.
avoid it if you can.
All right, let's go to our next one. I think this is kind of like, a good one. We have Underrated Gem, a book you rarely see talked about that deserves way more hype.
All right. You want me to start?
Yeah, sure.
I know this book ended up in the Goodreads Choice Awards, and it did score really high in that. However, I truly believe, I don't think I've seen but one other person read this book, and it is a really great experience. It's called Of Monsters and Mainframes by Barbara Truelove, and it was so cozy, kind of, while being kind of silly in a way. It's about a transport ship that keeps encountering these kind of nightmarish monsters like your Dracula and your werewolves and, you know, blobs from outer space. And like, it's just such a wild ride. And the story eventually, it sounds like a lot of like little short stories, but then they do come together and tie in. And I don't see anyone talking about it. I did give it a 5-star. Realistically, it's probably like 4, 4.5, but I thought, you know what? I'm giving it a 5-star because I want to show this book support, this author support. And I really did. It's like Art, the transport ship from Murderbot, encountering your horror monsters. And I thought that was really fun. It's silly and kind of goofy. It has a little bit of heart to it. I think it's an underrated gem.
Okay. That's pretty cool. I do remember you talking about that one. Mine is actually, I don't think by any surprise, because I feel like historical fiction is such a little space that a lot of people don't really dab in. But this one, I would have to say, I have two. I had one originally, and I'm like, no, I have to talk about this one. So my books for this category would be The Filling Station by Vanessa Miller, and then also Harlem Rhapsody by Victoria Christopher Murray. Both are, like I said, historical fiction, monumental times. The Filling Station is actually about one of the only Black-owned stations, like gas stations on that Route 66, I believe it was. And it's about like the Tulsa Massacre, how all of these people lost their lives and the story of two young ladies in that one. And then Harlem Rhapsody, that one just took me by a surprise because it is about Jesse. And I can't remember Jesse's name. I know that's terrible right off the hand, but I read these back in like February. Okay. As far as for Jesse in this book, she was working for W.E.B. Du Bois. All of the stories and how she ended up publishing this article, like this newspaper. I wish I had like more details to go into right now, but I literally just threw it on my list because I'm like, this needs to be out there. But definitely, it's really good. And I was really surprised most by Harlem Rhapsody, just to know some of the things. Oberlin had like a little bit of tie, a little tiny bit of tie in this one. So it was really cool.
That's really cool. Yeah, I don't see anybody talking about those books, so they
No,
deserve
not at
some
all.
hype.
And I feel like, you know what, I need to, because they're not just random books, and I need to give the proper name for Jesse. And I have it here, and of course I'm like speed reading. Jesse Redmond Fawcett. That's her name, and she was the literary editor of The Crisis, the first Black woman to hold this position at a preeminent Negro magazine. Jesse is poised to achieve literary greatness, but she holds a secret that jeopardizes it all. So that secret is literally like, it's messy and it's so great. And it was so much fun. So that was definitely one that I enjoyed because it's not something that you hear very often when you think of, you know, that past necessarily of the Harlem Renaissance. So definitely a good one.
Yeah. That's cool.
Yes.
You always have those out of the way picks for everybody that's maybe not, it's not your, you know, 10,000 reader a month smut that everybody's talking about and hyping up on
No.
TikTok. They're very different.
No, I definitely like reading the different books. And I do, don't get me wrong, I do try a little bit of the hyped ones, but usually the hype is just too much. It's not
Yeah.
something that I find that I gravitate to. Thank you for letting me dig that out because I'm like, oh my goodness, like which one? All right, so
Yeah,
next
no.
one, let's go right into the next one. Best Vibes, Weak Plot.
This
You
is
want me to go
funny
first?
and it's going to be controversial. No, I'm going to go.
Okay.
Because this doesn't mean it's a bad book, but it does not have a real plot to it. Like it does, but like you're here for the characters, the relationships, the ups and the downs, and yes, while they are working towards a common goal, and there is some intense moments due to the plot. It's mostly just character driven, and that book is Atmosphere by Taylor Jenkins Reid. Still a phenomenal read, 5 stars. Cannot recommend it enough. But there's not a plot to be found
There is
that's
a
going to
plot.
keep you like,
There is a
can't wait
plot.
to no. It is barely a plot.
It's not a mystery of a plot.
There's no plot to this. Don't let her try and convince you all of this. If it can be explained in one sentence, that ain't a plot.
Yes, it is. Then what is a thesis?
No. The thesis is you better really enjoy these characters because that's what you get.
It was good. It was definitely a really good one. I enjoyed it more. That was actually one that was another surprise for me. But Powerful Women, I had to, right? All right, so next one for me. This one was actually my first in this space. It was Almost There by Farah Rashan, if I'm saying that correctly. It was one of those twisted tale for the Disney retellings where the story is twisted, obviously, twisted tale. This story focused on Tiana, because I just loved Tiana. I love the movie Princess and the Frog. But this one, it just felt underwhelming. I guess because it was like a middle grade book is what you call it, like middle schooler-ish, I think. I don't think, are the Disney retellings like younger? I don't know.
There's two different types of Disney retellings. Most of them are smutty. To say middle school.
No, this one was not smutty at all. But it's, you know how they have like Aladdin and they have like the opposite or like Jafar or whatever.
Perspective.
Yeah, you have to look it up and see, but you'll have to let me know as far as what grade it necessarily is, because I just pick a book because it came available in my library. But this one to me, it just felt underwhelming. Like I don't think I've ever had a book that just felt like it was underwhelming. It was okay for me to sit and listen to just because at the time it was more of like a palate cleanser because it was just something short. It was, I think, maybe 7 or 8 hours on audio. I could knock it out shortly, but I was not in love with this one.
That's interesting. Honestly, it's one of those things where a lot of times if it's not one of the big guys that we're reading together or something, I don't really know what you're reading sometimes. So I vaguely remember you talking about this, but I was like, oh, I don't even remember you reading that.
I'm looking it up now because I'm very much curious to see what it says. So here's all the twisted tales, but it doesn't tell me what like age they are.
It's probably YA. It's probably in that younger YA space, but middle grade feels weird.
Maybe it's more of a YA space. It says it's fantasy.
Because middle grade is very much like a in your face with the morals and lessons being learned.
Mm-hmm.
So it can get a little more cloudy with YA. So I think it's probably YA.
It must be as far as a YA, but they're not terrible books, but it's just like a kind of happy, kind of not happy. I don't know how to describe it, but it was my first one in that space. I probably should have started with the first book, which was an Aladdin one, just for me to kind of get the feel of the rest of the books. But no, not me. I just jumped right into it. And I even downloaded the Moana one as far as the audio, but I haven't listened to it yet. I don't think I will, though.
They sound truly terrible.
I'm not going to say terrible, but they were different. It was different.
Nope. Not for me. All right. Let's move on to something a little more obsessive. What is your most likely book to live rent-free in your head? Meaning a book you keep thinking about, even though you finished it a long time ago. Or even if you just finished it in 6 months, it might still be stuck in your head.
I got two.
What do you got?
Atmosphere? Of course you do.
Pick one, damn it.
I can't just pick one. So I had, and it was just kind of funny because you just said, you know, how the other one didn't have a plot, right? Well, Atmosphere is one of those books that do live rent-free in my head. But also, you have not read this yet, but When the Moon Hatched by Sarah Parker. I love this book. Yes, it was spicy. It had more chili peppers than I could count, at least for me. But I loved it. Like the world building, the magical elements, and how the story is, it's just one of those spaces that you can just stay in. Kind of like how, you know, you can stay in Cosmere. It was a space where I could stay in because it didn't have like day and night. Like, it was where it was different this way, on top of like top and bottom for like the Earth. It was crazy. It was really good. It makes me want to go back and reread it. Like, I feel like I need to pick that back up in January, just because the next one's going
to
come out.
You'll have to
whenever.
Pick it up. No, not January. It's not coming out till May, maybe June. So you better wait.
It keeps getting pushed back, and I'm so angry that it keeps getting pushed back. But at the same time, I'm happy that it's going to keep getting pushed back, because maybe it's going to be worth the wait. But I don't want to be like Caleb and, you know, hype it up too much, and then I'm going to hate it. So
yeah,
I'm just going to wait
especially
to see
if
what
it's
happens.
Meant to be, if it's meant to be a trilogy, mm-hmm. you trilogies, second books in trilogies mm-hmm. usually kind of suck.
Yeah,
so
we're going to see.
Keep that in mind.
We are going to see.
We'll see.
All right.
My book I read in the summer, and in terms of like just blowing me away and like getting stuck in my head, I don't read a lot of sci-fi. I do struggle with the sci-fi sciency part of it.
Mm-hmm.
But Project Hail Mary was one that I think did so well mm-hmm. keeping the science part of this. It is a huge aspect of it. But like
yeah.
if you don't understand the concepts, mm-hmm. you still have a great time. And
yeah.
so the characters only being basically two, there are other characters because there's flashbacks and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But basically two characters the whole time. It was a really well done book. And I think about it all the time, and I'm like, I can't wait for the movie. I really hope it does it justice, but it's right up here all the time.
That's awesome. I love that.
So
all right.
Worst decision made by a main character, a book where you internally are screaming at character choice. What do you got?
I had my first book when I was screaming at the person. So I actually read Wild Dark Shore by Charlotte McConaughey. And I can't say exactly what made me want to scream. But if anyone has read this book, then you know as far as what I'm talking about. But the moment itself was beautiful yet devastating at the same time. I gave this book a 5 just because the twists were twisty and I loved this roller coaster. There is just one moment in this book and you're like, no, no, don't do it, don't do it. And then you're like, and I was
haven't read it yet.
No, you haven't read it. And I still think you should read this one. It was just one that I picked up on a whim and I ended up buying it in my book of the month. It was one of the picks that I got. And I didn't think that I was going to enjoy it, but this was a good one. If you want a little quick mystery, this was a good quick one.
Yeah, I'll check it out eventually.
You're like, no, I won't.
My book, I will. I bought it. I'm going to read it. I just can't promise this decade, but I'll get around to it.
Exactly.
All right, my book was Run by Blake Crouch, and mm-hmm. I'm used to Blake Crouch being a sci-fi author. Like, I have Dark Matter and all these other things, but this was a thriller from the author, and I picked it up because I had not heard anything about it.
Mm-hmm.
And it just kind of caught my attention, like, oh, I know that author, let me check this out.
Mm-hmm.
It was intense. It is a nonstop running. So essentially there's this something that's causing people to attack certain people and just like brutally kill everybody. And it's like an epidemic across the world. And certain people are being targeted. And this family is being targeted because of the father. And from the beginning, it's a lot of very intense, ultra violent moments that this is where the worst decisions come into play. They actually don't make bad decisions. But what happens is every time they're like up against the thing, horrible things are about to happen, something comes in and just like miraculously ends good for them. I'm not saying they don't get hurt or anything like that, but it's always too clean of a solution, including the very last moment. And you're just like, I'm so, after the third or fourth time, you're like, this is repetitive. This is no fun. Like, I didn't want anybody to get like killed or something, but I felt like there was craftier ways to go about it rather than like such astronomically impossible things happening and working out in your favor. So I didn't like that.
I don't think that would be a book that I would pick up. I know I want to read the Dark Matter one. I know I want to read that one. And
I
one
think
day I'll read it.
it's a thriller, but it is a little too, especially for people who have issues with like peril, children in peril and danger.
Okay.
They also do depict other young folks being killed or dead, the aftermath of them. Not in
Okay.
graphic detail, but there's enough for your imagination to be like, this is awful. For people with kids that suffer from stuff like that, it was a hard read for me on that aspect.
Nah, not for me. I'll
Yeah, I
keep my
don't think so.
sunshine and rainbows.
Yeah, you do that.
Right, so we've got to our favorite portion, I'm pretty sure here. A book you'll be recommending all of 2026. I mean, we can't just tell everyone that, to read all of the books that we talked about today. So we both have a problem. We both can't pick
Yes.
one. So, Caleb, what did you pick?
I picked four. And here's my thinking. I read different types of books, you know. I read a pretty broad range. So you've got your fantasy, your horror, your like sci-fi, and then you've got just like general fiction. So I went with four. And what I my logic was, I don't want to recommend something that's going to be too zoned in, you know what I mean? Like, of course I want you all to read Sanderson, but I know Sanderson's not for everybody. So I picked a fantasy book that is going to be more, it's a standalone. You don't have a huge commitment for a series, and it is incredibly well written. Beautiful world building, just phenomenal. And that is Blood Over Brighthaven by ML Wang. And it's so unbelievably good. I was blown away by how much I liked it from page one. An incredible magic, an incredible world, a mystery that ties it all together. And it's a standalone, unheard of in the fantasy realm. So I definitely highly recommend.
I have to read that one.
I think you would actually enjoy that one.
Only because Emily told you to read it, so I'll have to read that one.
There's a little romance subplot and some other stuff, but it's well done. So definitely check it out.
Okay. All right.
My horror book for non-Ashley readers that actually like some spooky stuff. This is no surprise. It's When the Wolf Comes Home by Nat Cassidy. An incredible ride of the horror space. Book of the year for me for horror. Cannot recommend it enough. It is pulse pounding and high intensity. It's bloody. It's nasty. It's phenomenal. So it also has some heart to it in it. And I think that's what I like about Nat Cassidy's books is that there's always a little bit in there that you can see in like the psyche of some of the characters that are easily relatable, you know, with some of the trauma that people experience in childhood and stuff like that. So I think he does it really well. So highly recommend that one. Then we're going to hit sci-fi. And after I just talked about this book 10 seconds ago, Project Hail Mary, phenomenal, an incredible sci-fi book for people who like sci-fi, because it is very math heavy. It is very science heavy. But I think in terms of the way the characters are done, I really enjoyed the character work that's done in that book on top of the sci-fi element. And yes, the sci-fi gets a little questionable on some things, but I'm not smart enough to be able to figure that out. So I was happy with it. And
All right,
then
and your last one.
last one, general fiction. This is the book that I can broadly recommend to literally anybody, and that is Atmosphere by Taylor Jenkins Reid. It is so
It
good.
showed back up.
Yes. Again, I'm telling you, it is a 5-star book that you really focus on the heart of the characters, and there is a perilous situation that's kind of happening, and you're learning about the characters and going through flashbacks and back to current moments, and it has an intensity to it that I wasn't expecting. It was a really, really solid, good book.
Okay. Well, I couldn't pick just four.
Yeah, you can't even pick
I
four.
had
We're talking about one.
no, I had such a really good year. Like I said, I really stretched myself in ways that in books that I wouldn't think of picking up to read. So these are books that I am recommending only because they're for somebody. they're definitely for somebody. The first one, it's actually a duology, is by Kaylin Barron, and it's This Poison Heart and This Wicked Fate. Amazing series. I'm not going to go into detail because, like I said, I have a little tiny list here. Tracy Dion, I read Blood Mark this year. Amazing book. Fast paced. It had all kinds of just everything. Perfect read. I loved it. But you have to read Legendborn first. The next one is, to no surprise, this is actually my only Kristen Hanna book this year, which I really wanted to read at least three this year. But The Nightingale. I did read The Nightingale this year, and it is what everyone has said that it is. If you're hearing is true, I loved it. The next one I have is Daria LaBelle, Aftertaste. This is the most unique book I have ever read. It deals with grief. It deals with identity. It even has a little bit of ghost in there. And as far as for ghosts necessarily moving on and how one person tries to help them. Excellent. Excellent, excellent story. It was one of the books that I read for Book Trip. I already spoke about I, Medusa, so we're not obviously going to go back into that. But anything by Kennedy Ryan, I was able to get a few of her this year. But I really enjoyed Real. It was a really, really real. It was a great love story. And any book that has where women are loved properly and just, it was just all of the feels. And last but not least, I have to say S.A. Cosby with All the Sinners Bleed. That is going to be for your thrillers, that, you know, that crime, legal drama type of thing. That book sold me. I immediately was like, oh my gosh, I need to read all of his books. And I don't know why I only read two of his books this year, but definitely All the Sinners Bleed was an excellent book.
Wow. Yeah. That was a hell of a list.
I know, I'm sorry, but can we do one more list? I promise this one's just quick. We what? Have to. We cannot leave 2025 without doing it. It's going to be short. It's going to be sweet. It's going to be perfect. Our 10 before the end. Caleb, you had 5 on your list. What 2 did you get to?
Yes, I did only get to 2. And I talked about it at the beginning. So I originally had When the Moon Hatched. Didn't touch it. Title Creatures, third book in a series from Shauna McGuire. Didn't touch it. Mm-hmm. Sunbringer, second book. Third book's out now by Kristen Hanner. I'm sorry, Hannah Kaner. Didn't touch it. Savage Blooms by S.T. Gibson. Nope. Even though that would have been a short, easy read. Maybe I'll get to it before next week.
Mm-hmm.
But I did finish the last two books of the Stormlight Archives by Brandon Sanderson, which were on my list. And I feel accomplished because, A, that's 2,500 pages combined.
Yeah.
But also, it was an incredible end to the series. 5 stars all around. Some of the best mental health representation in a fantasy book I've ever seen. Just phenomenal. So I'm happy
that is
it.
Awesome. I am proud of you because at least we didn't say we didn't read any of them, right? We're mood readers at heart, so we have to kind of stick with what we're going to stick with. But for sure, my quick 5 that I had on there was Priory of the Orange Tree or Something in That Universe. I started, but I didn't finish. Junie by Aaron Crosby Exton. I started, I didn't finish. I also have on here Oathbound. I did not start this one, but I really, really think this is going to hit the list by the end of the year. So that might be my next book just because I'm so short on the other ones. And then the other book, Save the Best for Last, I mean, in this space necessarily, Mistborn. I did. I put it on my list because I was going to finish it, and I am finally finishing it. So I couldn't let 2025 wrap up and me not actually say that I finally finished Mistborn. And this is when you do like all the crazy sound effects.
Yeah, I need confetti and everything dropping down.
Yeah, so I know. I'm excited. We had an excellent 2025, and I know this episode is running a little bit longer, but I just had to say, like, we were going to skip it. And I was like, no, Caleb, we gotta wrap the year with that part. So we did it.
We literally just said we weren't going to talk about it.
Yeah. And that's why I did it.
That's all right. We can fly through it. It was good.
Yes.
I like to push ourselves, and we pushed ourselves because we had some big books on there too. I had a lot of series. Like, that's a tough space to be in. And yet we still accomplished some pretty big things.
Absolutely. And I am ready to sit down and map out 2026 to see what I'm looking for. You know, I will say that my goal is not going to be as big as this year. It's going to be a very different year for me, but I'm still going to read and I'm still going to look forward to them. I just have to be more selective on what I'm picking. So I'm excited.
Book club will still be there. So we'll still have at least 12 reads a year. Yeah. I know some people are moving to quarterly book clubs, but I like the monthly book club. I think it's one book. We can make it happen.
I do definitely want to keep at the one book. I feel like if we were to stretch it for a quarter, it would become non-existent. And I don't want that for our book club space. So if you like the book, read it. If you don't, skip it, hang out. You know, it's what it is. It's a space where you're not obligated to read it if you don't want to, but yeah.
Yeah. We made it. 2025 is, you know, balls dropping right now. maybe, I don't know. It was a lot of fun, and I enjoy these episodes a lot, and I am very greatly looking forward to the 2026 look ahead. It's a monumental moment for us because it was one of our biggest episodes of the first season, and now we're going to be going to season two, and I know it's going to be one of my favorites. Yes. It's just so cool.
It is exciting. I still can't believe we're in season two, but yeah.
Halfway through.
We are.
So. All right. Well, we held you long enough. I hope you guys found some books on here that maybe we really hyped up and now you got to go read it. And always comment if you've got other books that you think we should read along our lists and our types and our genres. Please engage with us and come chat with us.
Absolutely. We are here. We are humans, you know. We just like reading.
Yes, we're real people. So, all right, let's go ahead and sign off. And we're going to say until next year.
Happy New Year and happy reading.
Take care.